Good morning again. Good to see you. Good to be with you. One of my favorite lines about Jesus was actually a complaint and a put down. And you'll find it in this gospel for today, where it says, "And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.'" Make no mistake, their noses were in the air and their eyebrows were raised when they said this. In fact, that whole first paragraph, which we can so often see as just an introduction to the parables that follow, is enough to sum up the entirety of Jesus' life and what the entire total gospel is all about. It really tells us there are two ways to approach Jesus, to approach this faith. The Pharisees and scribes, the ones in charge of religion at the time, so believe me, I'm a little bit nervous talking about this right now, were the ones grumbling and looking at what Jesus was doing. And it was the sinners and the tax collectors, quite frankly, the most despised of the day, who were what? Coming near to listen to Jesus. Here's the difference. One group listened, and the other refused to listen and only looked at what Jesus did. One was about a message that might change things, including one's life forever. The other was about keeping things just like they are, which included keeping them in power. One was about the message and what might happen in the world if we lived that way, and one was about appearances. I was reading a blog the other day by Ben Sledge, who's a young evangelical pastor, and the title of the blog was, "Why I Am a Christian and Why I Continue to Suck at Being One." So this title was so catchy, I had to read it. I mean, I thought, why? Well, it's because I can relate to it so well. He talks about how he was pushed away from Christianity by all the rules imposed, the ultimate message being that once you accept Jesus into your life, you have to be perfect. We all know it doesn't work that way, even if we pretend it does. He said, even after being truly hurt by the church, that two unlikely young men brought him back. They were clear about one thing. They were Christians. And when he was surprised at that, because of who they were and what they looked like, it took him back. They had a great message, but he said what changed him was the way they lived. So I want to quote from his blog. He said, "When I was 27, I met two men who forever changed the way I viewed Christianity. Both were covered in tattoos, occasionally used swear words, and they both loved beer. All the things I'd been told growing up, that you get kicked out of Club God if you do those things. And honestly, it confused me. Weren't they sinning? But that wasn't why I became a Christian. That would be a stupid reason to join anyway, and I could go to a nearest hipster bar and join a tribe like that. What won me over was the way they loved me and loved people who were hurting and messy. It was the way they shared openly about their hurts and repeated failures. It was the way they loved their wives and spoke so highly about them. It was the joy they had, even in the midst of tears and deep suffering. It was the fact they didn't pretend to have it all together or to have all the answers. Sometimes they just had to say, 'I don't know.'" If you think about it, there is no other religion like Christianity. Even though some Christians will insist that now that we're saved, we just need to sit back and watch the world go to hell in a handbasket and wait for Jesus to return and take us with him, that's not what Jesus intended or preached or lived. What Jesus wanted and asked of us still is to transform this world. That's where this religion is different. And we can't do that by imposing a set of rules on people. We do it by living lives that are imperfect, but that love in ways that this world so desperately needs right now. We don't have to go very far to find and hear the message of exclusion, of who's in and who's out, of rules designed to keep things the same, of the rhetoric that is based solely in keeping more for those speaking and making sure no one else can get it. A message of hoarding rather than sharing. Words that say clearly, "We will not welcome you, and we will never invite you to our table and eat with you. You can parse that, massage it, bend it, rewrite it in any way you wish, but you can't change the fact that that message we're hearing most often is not the message or the life of Jesus. Now, we can even look inside the church. We are not exempt. We need to challenge ourselves, and we need to change too. Even in the church, we say you have to be baptized to eat at this table. That's the official rule. We've actually put up a barrier. And I will admit, I don't buy it anymore. I'm supposed to, but I don't. Jesus ate with everyone. He didn't check cards at the door or make sure he was eating only with those who were clean or pure. In fact, he ate with everyone and some of the most despised of his day. If we followed that, we would do the same. We would say, anyone can come to this table, anyone. If you're hungry, come and eat. As I put it in the whole of my ministry, I would say, wherever you are on your journey of faith, you are welcome at this table. I believe Jesus lived the same. So don't get me wrong. At the later service, we're going to baptize people. And it's very, very important. In fact, I think we could make it more important by what I'm saying. Perhaps one of the most important steps you will ever take. It's what says, yes, I want to be a Christian. I want to be marked. I want to be branded like cattle on the range as a Christian forever. That's a big, big step. It's not an insurance policy with God, as our often bad theology has made it out to be. It is instead an invitation for those of us presenting children to live our lives as Jesus would ask us and to model that for them so they grow up with that. And for adults, like the two that will step forward today, to reaffirm their baptism, it's the commitment, the promise to do that themselves. And the message of today is that it should change us, not to be perfect, but to be committed to walking another way, even in our imperfections, even when we stumble, even when we get it wrong, no matter what the clamoring world says is really the path. It's being willing to have the raised eyebrows looking at you and grumbling and saying, this man, this woman, welcome sinners, because you know yourself to be one. And he or she eats with them because you know we're all in this together. That's Jesus' way. No matter what else you hear. So listen to these vows today. Make these vows today. Then live from these vows today and in all your days to come. Because that's the difference in saying you're a Christian and being one. My sisters and brothers, I've said these words to you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.